For 91.3 WKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on medicine. Well, it's hard enough being a parent, but what about being a parent and being worried about nut allergies, specifically peanuts? The medical literature has been seemingly contradictory and controversial over the years, but now we have new recommendations for exposing your children to peanut proteins. I recently spoke with Dr. Tracy Overbeck, a pediatric allergist and immunologist here in Lexington, to get her view on recent research and recommendations about peanuts and children.
You know, we start seeing an increase in nut allergy, specifically peanut allergy, but in all food allergies back in the 1990s. And in 2000, you know, they came out with a joint statement with the American Academy of Pediatrics and our allergy groups, both the Quad AI and the college, that basically said, let's see if we can avoid or decrease the development of these allergies if we can delay introduction of allergic foods into the diet. So that came out in 2000, and they made the recommendation for high-risk infants, and those are strong family history of allergy, have eczema, already are starting to show some food allergies, to start delaying dairy till 1 year, eggs till 2 years, and peanuts, nuts, fish till about 3 years of age. So then we fast forward, and we, you know, got through the two up to about 2008, and basically we did not see a decrease in food allergies, and we actually saw an increase. So from 1999, there was about 0.4% of children with a peanut allergy, and by 2010, it had raised to 2%. So in 2008, they came out with another statement basically saying this didn't work, and so they recommended breastfeeding for at least 4 months, and that might delay or prevent in early life some atopic dermatitis, cow milk allergy, wheezing in these young children. But there was really insufficient data to support any maternal dietary restrictions, either during pregnancy or lactation, or any dietary intervention beyond 4 to 6 months of age.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking today with Dr. Tracy Overbeck, pediatric allergist and immunologist, about kids and nut allergies, specifically peanuts.
So that's where we were until about that same year, there was an observation that there was a tenfold higher prevalence of peanut allergy in Jewish children in the United Kingdom compared to Israeli children of similar ancestry. And the only difference that they could find in this was that in Israel, there is a teething biscuit Bamba.
Yeah.
It's made out of peanut protein. And most of these babies were getting this Bamba before 9 months of age. So, you know, around 7 months of age, they were starting to feed these children that. And it's highly consumed in that area of the world. So that led us to doing the LEAP study. And the LEAP study is what the pivotal study that the new recommendations are based on. So the LEAP study stands for Early or Learning Early About Peanut Allergy. It was published in 2015. And what they did is they wanted to investigate if we could introduce peanut early in children, does it prevent peanut allergy? So this is the first time that they were looking at prevention. They involved 644 to 11-month-old infants, and these were high-risk infants that had severe eczema, egg allergy, or both. So you're looking at, you know, a population that's probably likely to develop a peanut allergy. I can't remember how much off the top of my head that kids with these two things tend to have peanut allergy. Oh, 75% of these children usually go on and become peanut allergic.
Yeah.
So they're very high risk. So they stratified them into two cohorts. Because they were high risk, they wanted to test them first to see if there was any baseline sensitization to peanut. And so if you were zero on your skin testing, you were put in one category. If you were less than 4, so between 1 and 4 millimeters on the skin prick test is how we diagnose this, you were a little bit sensitized. But if you were over 4 millimeters or 5 or higher, we assumed you were already allergic.
Yeah.
And hence those those children were out of the study. So we looked at two cohorts, those who had no skin test positivity and those that had mild skin test positivity. And then of each in those groups, they divided them into feeding peanut and avoidance. All right. So the skin prick test negative cohort in the avoidance group, and they followed them for 5 years, so up until 5 years of age, so it was a nice long study. In the avoidance group, about 14% of those children developed peanut allergy. In the consumption group, it was about 2%. Hmm. That was pretty significant.
Yeah.
Now, even the ones who were positive, so that low positivity skin prick test, in the avoidance group, those children developed peanut allergy about 35% of the time. In the consumption group that were eating peanut, was only about 11%.
And I guess one thing to interject here is, and this is probably a bit of confusion amongst folks, we're not talking about feeding little kids peanuts per se. We're talking about peanut protein like in Bamba, that sort of thing, because obviously peanuts themselves have the choking
exactly.
hazard.
Yeah, so we have two ways to do this. You can actually order Bamba online, or you can use smooth peanut butter and dilute it with some water so it's not as thick, and you can stir that into the children's food.
Yeah.
So there's two ways to do that, yes, because obviously peanuts or nuts in general are a choking hazard under the age of 4 or 5.
I'm speaking today with Dr. Tracy Overbeck, pediatric allergist and immunologist, about kids and nut allergies, specifically peanuts.
So that was pivotal results on this study, and that basically came out with the recommendations for the addendum to how you feed children now for peanut. It looks like we might be able to prevent peanut allergy, which would be amazing for this country and around the world for these children, because as you know, this is a very scary thing to have. It's usually a lifelong issue. People with peanut allergy, when they're diagnosed, only about 20% will outgrow it or it'll go away, which means 80% don't. So this tends to be a lifelong thing. And there's a lot of fear around this because you can go in anaphylaxis and die from this. So,
yeah, as we've discovered in our own family, things can get hairy very quickly. You know, like when you eat, you think it's an M&M, but it's a Reese's piece, you know, or something like that, which something can easily be done.
And that's how most anaphylaxis occurs, because it's an accidental ingestion. Because once they get diagnosed, they know it, and they are, you know, very good about reading labels and trying to avoid. But it's these accidental ingestions that occur. And unfortunately, the highest risk children are these teenagers, you know, because they don't like to carry around their EpiPen. They want to be like their friends. They're a little more risk-taking behavior at that age. And so that's where we see a lot of deaths due to food allergies in that age group.
So I guess counterintuitive to some of the previous reports that have come out and parents of a certain age now with kids who are themselves of a certain age, we're actually getting recommendations now to expose children pretty early on to these proteins?
Correct. Mm-hmm. So now the recommendation is to start, or children who have low risk or no risk of peanut allergy or allergies in general, so no eczema, no family history, there's a recommendation of starting peanut introduction into their diet between 4 and 6 months of age. The ones that have mild eczema, because it is a fairly common entity in young children, we're recommending that you can either go to your physician and get tested. Your pediatrician can draw a blood test. And if that is negative, 90% of those children will be fine to go ahead and introduce that into their diet, same time frame. If there is any positivity on that, then they recommend coming to an allergist so that we can further evaluate and deem if it's safe to introduce to those children. Now, with the high-risk children, you know, once again, just as I outlined in the LEAP study, we are definitely testing those first and then deciding on which category to introduce. If they're too high, and that's, you know, between that 5 and 8 millimeter, they're probably already sensitized, and there's not much we can do for that. But if they're over 8 millimeters on their skin test. But if they're in that indeterminate range, that 3 to 7 millimeter, then, you know, we can do a graded challenge in our office under controlled situations so that if a reaction occurs, we can treat it and hopefully stop it. But if they're less than 2 millimeters on their testing, then those children are safe to go ahead and reintroduce it. And once again, it'll be the comfort of the parents if they want to do it in the office under controlled situations or if they want to do that at home.
The bottom line, based on these new guidelines, it may be okay to expose your children to peanut proteins at an early age. As always, though, confer with your doctor before making any changes. My thanks go to Dr. Tracy Overbeck, pediatric allergist and immunologist in Lexington, talking today about new recommendations about exposing children to peanuts and peanut protein. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.